We on? There we go. Okay. Yes, Lord. There's no band to back me up on that one. We have some things we need to go through this morning, but before I get into that, I want just to acknowledge Christian, who grew up in this church and is moving to Temple Church. Please, let's acknowledge him as this is last Sunday today here with us. We know you'll be coming back some days and hopefully come and stay with us some days. So, well, have a good time there. As well, I know we're feeling cold, right? They're working on that. There is an off-site switch that needed to be turned on. So I've been told in another 10 or so minutes, we'll all be warm and the jackets will be falling off and we'll have a good time. Amen? All right. Also, we have a ministry that's been there, but we want to make sure that you understand who these people are. If you're in the hospitality ministry, please go ahead and stand up. If you're visiting, they'll tend to reach out to you, introduce you to someone, let you know where we meet, different family groups, where you come from. That will be the role. You can be seated, please. And we want to do that. But I hope as a whole church, we can become that hospitality ministry. Amen? As you really reach out to new people and help them to know who we are, where we meet, what we do, really, that's what it's about getting involved all about. Does that make sense? I believe that for this year, for us to go to another level, as we talk about being safe, being authentic, showing care, and help and growth, we have to get involved. You cannot sit on the fence and hope to see the church do something different this year. The only way that will happen is you have to get involved. Involved beyond Sunday and midweek. Involved beyond coming here and only singing when your song, the song you like, comes on. You sing all the songs. Does that make sense? Yeah, you got to sing all the songs, not just the songs you like. You got to get involved beyond that. Does that make sense? Involved beyond talking to usual friends and talking to people you don't know. Does that make sense? You see, to get involved is to not stand by, but to want to help. Is to want to give your heart. It's beyond just being present in this place. It's giving your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The greatest commandment is getting involved. It's not just that you believe in God, but it's also going beyond that aspect and demonstrating with your heart that you believe in God. So I ask you today, how are you going to get involved in 2018? This is not just worship. It's also how you're going to get involved in your family, with your children, with your spouse, with the church, with just anything you touch. As a matter of fact, if you give your heart to God, you give your heart to everything else you touch. If you don't give your heart to God, you actually deceive yourself or mortgage your future. So you don't give yourself professionally. You don't give yourself in life. You hold back a lot. And yet many people are waiting for the right circumstance, event to happen before they give their heart to God. No, this morning, get involved. Let's start there. To get involved, you have to get interested in God's work. We're going to stay in Nehemiah. It seems like everybody that spoke this morning was getting this direction. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hekaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, that's November, December, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah, which we learned about this morning. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They say to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days, I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. The story begins by Nehemiah just sitting somewhere and they visit him. His name simply means the comforter. And his friends come to talk to him and tell him about how the people that went back to Judah in captivity are doing. And they say to him that he said to me that the things are not going well. You see, it's not that the wall was down. It's that they had stopped making God the Lord of their lives and they were mixing their faith with those people around them. And so they were losing the saltiness of their faith. And because of that, they were in disgrace. They were in trouble. They were no longer a people you could look up to and say, well, can these people inspire me? Why? They had gone back and let themselves be lukewarm. And this is a story being told about them. It says, you know, the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down. As you understand, and back then, if the city had no wall, it meant you could attack it from anywhere. Has your wall been torn down? How's your wall, spiritually speaking? Is it holding up together? Or is the devil coming in left, right, and center? Every temptation comes through, and you cannot stand because you don't even know what scripture to turn to. When you look in Luke chapter 4 and you see how Jesus was tempted and how he came back to that temptation, you would say, you know what? It is written. It is written. It is written. If you don't know what the Bible says, then your wall is torn down. And the devil can come in anyway, anyhow. You got to memorize scripture, know when to stand and how to speak to those thoughts, know how to speak to those emotions, know how to speak to those fears that come and attack you so that you can stand before God. If you don't, you become like the world around you. Our world is full of pluralism, not wanting any accountability from God, but still desiring spirituality. But in this, with the same spirit resisting that call to hear God's voice and be led by God. So he hears this. They're in trouble, in disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days. What fascinates me is how Nehemiah responds to this. He says, When I heard this, I sat down and wept, in fact, for days. Why is that? Why is it that he could hear a story about his brothers and sisters in captivity, and he himself was in captivity, by the way. He was a refugee here as well. And he had not focused on the fact that I've lost my rights, I've lost everything I have, but rather weep for those that are back home, even though he's lost everything. Because he was focused on God's will. That is why he could feel like that. Because it's easy for you to focus on your pain, to focus on what's not going right. Let me say this to us. Your life is not bad. It is how you're looking at it that is bad. This guy has no place, no heritage, no First Amendment, no nothing. He works for a king that can kill him anytime. He's a slave. And yet he says he wept, sat down, For days, he could connect with the feelings of people. He could connect with where they had, how far they had fallen. Sometimes what we've done is we've lost the ability to connect with feelings, with what God is doing. That your heart is dead, is not responsive. It does not connect to, does not empathize to how people are feeling. That you watch news and see people homeless and have no place to go and the winter is freezing and you don't feel anything. You don't even say, oh my goodness, thank God I have a roof over me. I mean, I was watching news and I couldn't let go of that thought. How are they living on the streets? We've got be softer in our hearts. It's easy to lose your heart and just get in the habit of I'm going, but never empathize for people. And when you lose that, the Spirit of God cannot penetrate and move you, and so you're not able to be transformed and connect to the realities of what's going on. That happens. We'll see why that happens in a short while. But that's what you got to ask yourself. Am I able to connect? Lately, as I read my Bible and pray and all that, I've been asking that question. God, I want to be moved by you. I want to hear you. But I want to connect, to feel empathy, to be inspired by your Spirit. We cannot be disciples that don't feel for people, lost souls, homeless people, trouble, and all kinds of issues. That's what Nehemiah could do. He said he mourned and fasted. You see, when you start to connect, you see the need of fasting. I have a question for you. Now, if you cannot fast, you can fast from other things. But when is the last time you fasted? No, don't show hands. I'm not trying to get you guilty. I'm trying to get you to connect to the fact that maybe you've lost your spiritual weapon, that you need to bring that weapon back. Right. And one of the weapons you need in connecting with God is fasting. You will not die. You will not die, I can assure you. If you're sick, check with your doctor. But if you're okay, you will not die if you fast. You will be fine. If you do as the Bible tells you to do it, that you wake up and you're looking forward and apply all on yourself and get out there with excitement, you will not even think, you will not feel like I am tired. You'll be thanking God that you did it. Amen. But you begin to connect. When is the last time you fasted? He was trying to feel for them. We need to fast as a church, as a people, for yourself. I'm not going to tell you tomorrow we all fast. I'm just saying, you need to get moved to the point where you want to fast. Then it's real. If I say it from the pulpit and you do it, well, you're playing church because the minister said it. You need to do it because you want to connect with God. That's what he did. He fasted. He mourned for them and prayed to God of heaven. Who are you praying to? God of the phone? God of money? If I just won the jackpot of that lottery, man, I'll be in a good place. That's my God. That's the thing. That will sort out my things. Oh, no, you'll have many people locking at your door. If I just had what I needed, if I just got this, go to the God of heaven. He will sort out all your issues. What does he say? Then he said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love to those who love and obey his commands. This guy has no place to go, and yet is praying for other people. Sometimes the reasons we give for not giving ourselves to God is my position, what I'm going through. Instead of, oh my goodness, God has blessed me so much, how can I walk with what I got and then bring about the rest to God? In other words, everybody in this room has a reason not to give themselves to God. But if you do choose that route, it's because you're not connecting to God. So your problems are bigger than the God you worship. And because of that, your heart begins to die and loses the connection that you need to be sensitized, to empathize, to really see that this is God's work. So what was Nehemiah doing? This is what was going on. Where your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will be. In other words, you want to know where you are at? What makes your heart go like, I'm alive again? What is it that gets you going? What is it that gets you going? But for some of us, we have nothing getting us going. We are dead. We can be resuscitated by going back to God. You know, if you live long enough, life has a way of giving you all kinds of challenges. And for me, I have a way of saying, you know, I remember my childhood vividly from the days of kindergarten and the blanket they would cover me with and try to get me to sleep. And I hated that idea of sleeping at midday. I wanted to be up and playing. All the children understand what I'm talking about. I want to play. They say, go to bed. Well, and I had to stay in that. And as the memory comes up and as I hang out with Dad and as when he takes me up to boarding school, and that I struggled like nobody's business. And I hated it. and went to delinquency for a good 1 year, just not doing what I was supposed to do, and then coming back to recovery. And eventually, what I see that so when I got baptized, that is when I really became alive. When I gave my life to Jesus, that's when my life changed. And I see that, and then I see how I can sometimes lose it and just be dull, and then come back. And I'm not talking about activity. I'm talking about your heart. Because you can do all activity to feel good. That is not it. It dies out. It's not just activity, activity, activity. It's your heart. Where is your heart? Because that's where your treasure is. What gets you going? But sometimes we've lost all connectivity and all we have is fear. Fear of losing a job. Fear of not doing this. Fear of that. Fear of not having a spouse. Fear of not having money. Fear of not... We all have that fear. I have that. You all have fears, right? But we cannot let fear dominate us. It's not the lack of it. It'll be there. But Jesus is bigger than our fears. I'm not trying to belittle the fears we carry. I'm just saying, but when we have Jesus, that overcomes it. Our treasure comes back here. What is the fear that is holding you back, numbing you from hearing God? Because when there's fear, you have trauma, kind of. You shut down because of fear. You don't want to feel stuff. But when you let go, God can heal you. You can start connecting with God. What fears do you have that have held you down and shut you down? So let's get our hearts to God. Secondly, get humble before God. If you want to connect and get involved and make sure that things are going well, the next thing you must do well is to get humble before God. Then he said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. That God is willing and ready to keep that covenant, but we have to be the ones that are willing to obey him. Does that make sense? In other words, we walk away from that, it's not gonna happen. Verse 6, listen to my prayer. I like the way he prays. He says, God, listen to my prayer. That's confidence. Trust in God will hear me. How is your prayer? How is your prayer? Did you not pray and say, I'm going to church this morning, I don't need to pray? Like I always say, right here, it's a general meal. You got to pray for your personal meal. Right here, it's all hot dogs and hamburgers. Right there, you can cook what you really want. In other words, you may like what I'm cooking today, but or some things will help you, some may not help you. I hope something helps you, though. You need to do some prayer at home. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people. Israel, I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. Do you see how this is about him? Not just about those other guys. He's seeing himself as well as he's trying to reach out to those people. In other words, if I am not changing, it's very hard to help anybody else. Does that make sense? As much as he was doing this to help pleading the case for the people in captivity, he's also pleading for himself. Does that make sense? His family. So humility is that he's sober enough to see, oh my goodness, I've walked away from God. I need to change that. It's not self-pity. It's humility that I see, oh my goodness, I've walked away from God. I need to do some things different here. Does that make sense? We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. So they remember the story of Moses and how Moses gave them that Ten Commandment. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you're in exile to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place of heaven, the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. That if we return to God and live by the ways he teaches us, nothing can overcome us. Whether we're refugees or not, God can still overcome anything. In other words, when you think about it, who has walked away from God? God didn't walk away from us. It is us that walk away from God. But it's gradual. It's gradual. It's like a sheep. It's like a boat at the ocean. And as the waves come, they buffet the ship. And after about 2 hours, it's gone into a mile inside. But an hour ago, it was right here, and it's gone a mile inside. What happened? It was not anchored properly, and eventually it's gone and it's sailing away. That happens to all of our souls. If we don't check our hearts closely, we can get buffeted by life to the point where we just lose everything. It's a very gradual process. Have you ever woken up one day and said, oh my goodness, where have I been? Yeah, because you've been drifting. Drifting is a very common thing for many people. Not car drifting. We're talking about the drifting of the boats in the ocean. Car drifting is fun if you like cars. It's fun, burning some rubbers. Zach likes that idea. So, the point is, how are you doing in this area, humility area, just humbling yourself before God? Can I say something about this? Are you afraid to see who you are? Are you afraid? Are you afraid to examine yourself? Are you afraid to introspect and see things in your character? It's the most liberating thing you can do for your life. To be real with God and say, God, this is me. I struggle with this, I struggle with that. We moved here about 2 years ago, and my wife and I have a great time. We're loving serving the congregation. But one of the things is that the culture also changes. And so we talk a lot about ourselves and what we're changing and how different it is. And how that is that sometimes I'm the one that needs to change. And they're talking to me about it. And that conversation is interesting. Because sometimes you're wondering, like, hold on. You can't say that. And say, but they have a point. They have a point. And you go through this conversation, and then I realize this is good. It's going to talk about what needs to be different. Part of humility is just introspecting and figuring out, where do I need to do a bit to change and be right with God? Don't be afraid to see you. Why are we afraid of ourselves, of our weaknesses? God walks through those weaknesses. So we put up this facade of I'm perfect. Nobody is perfect. I've been around long enough to know that. I'm not perfect. Just in case you thought the preacher is perfect. He's not. Nobody's perfect. So we've got to move away from this facade and introspect. That's humility. We grow from that place. It becomes an amazing place from that. From there you begin to see, oh my goodness, here's what God can do. Why? Because now you know what needs to be dealt with. But when you refuse to do that, you don't know. So you're held captive for as long as you want. So he's confessing. Oh Lord, please hear my prayers. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king cupbearer. He has no rights. He can die when the king says you will die. So he prays and says, I'm going to go and talk to the king on behalf of another nation that the king would not want it to stand. But he prays. This is an impossible situation. What was he really doing? He was doing Hebrews 3:12 to 15. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. When you allow sin to stay in your system, it begins to create unbelief. That's what it does. So he was making sure that before he went and spoke with the king, he did not have unbelief. He was clear, he was ready, he was going to have faith. Make sure that your hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. When you allow sin to stay so long in your system, you harden yourself against God. So God is trying to walk, but you're hard-hearted. You will not let him walk with you. And over time, if you insist on doing it, he'll let you go. Just like the prodigal son. He wanted the wealth and he fought and fought and he went. And got to the end of it and came back. But so that doesn't happen, it's important that we're talking, we're getting soft, we're getting through our heart issues, overcoming sin, so that we change. That is what Nehemiah was doing by that prayer and confessing. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember, what he says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Church, we've been setting up family groups, one another, safe one another relationships. Don't harden your hearts. Let's get engaged into this and really build a family of God, a body of Christ. If you don't do that, you take away an opportunity for yourself to grow, to blossom. You see, you cannot be spiritual just as an island. We've got to connect with God first and with one another. We need that relationship. It's God ordained. It's not mine. I didn't write the book. But when you run away from people because some people hurt you sometime, you do not have a chance to heal and recover and be alive again. You've got to come back and find safe relationships. And for that to happen, you've got to be the safe one. Right. Don't wait for people to be safe. Get involved and be safe and help people to be safe. Healing takes everybody getting involved. Does that make sense? So that is humility. It's coming to this place where we understand what needs to be done. For some of us, we just need to talk through things. Maybe you need to go home and talk through things as spouses, as parents, and whatever it is, until we come to a place of humility. And then we can hear God's voice and we begin to obey in a joyful manner. Amen? Get a heart that serves others. This is Nehemiah chapter 2. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified that his walk with God and how far he had walked in himself was self-evident. That the king, who was not a Christian, looked at him and said, "You're troubled, but you're not sick." In a world that is so brutal, that fights Christianity, it will not be won by just talking about Jesus. It will be won by our lives. Amen. That a man who does not believe in God can look at you and say, "This is different. This is not just some church guy, or this is not some just guy that says, praise God." That they see it and say, "This one looks different." Why? Your life is imbued with the Holy Spirit, that sin is not in the way, and God is walking through you. That they can see you and say, "He's different. Why are you sad? You're not sick." That God, that prayer went so much ahead that God was walking. It's easy to settle and be like everybody around you and not strive to be godly in a world that is really confused, sad, angry, and lose the joy of Christ and instead share the anger of the world and lose the patience of that Christ gives us and become just angry people. I mean, how are you in the office? Are you the angry one? How are you at home? Are you the angry one? The fruits of the Spirit. How are you on the driving lane? How's that going? Lately, I've been doing well in that area. God has been gracious. How are you doing on that road? You may not say it, but we know what's going on inside. It needs to be different. Not because you seek to prove to the world, but because your walk with God does it. You don't seek to prove to the world. Spiritual people don't prove it. No, they depend on God. So he saw that. But even as he was so faithful, the Bible says he was terrified. Like I said earlier, we are all afraid. He was terrified. But I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried But I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried in are buried in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked, well, how can I help you? Everything he said there was treasonable. How can you be serving me, a king of another nation, and you want to go build a king I destroyed, and a nation I destroyed, and you want to go and build that again? But because of a faith in God, he was able to say that. And why was it impossible? Because it was not about him. It was about God. Anytime you make it about God, it comes around. Anytime you make it about you, you're going to be in trouble. So anyway, moving forward, we see that I replied, if it is pleasing, this is verse 5, the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city and where my ancestors are buried. The king with the queen sitting beside him asked. I don't know why the Bible took that very seriously, with the queen sitting beside him. For me, I think that it's just to show the power of God. Because if she's there and she's wondering, what kind of leadership are you doing, Mr. King? But if she's there, God would walk in all the whole family of the king to be in favor of what's going on here. How long will you be gone? When will you return? After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. That is the power of the God you worship. This was an impossibility, but God fixed it. But it takes prayer. It takes being humble. It takes a lot of things. There's nothing we cannot do if we're humble. But we're not socialized like that. We're not socialized to be humble. So we need to learn the ways of God and do that continually, because the world is always bombarding us the other way around. And finishing. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs never grow on thorn bushes, nor grapes on bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Here's what I want to say to us. Your life is flowing with something. What is it? Good fruit, bad fruit? I'll let you judge for yourself. Your life is flowing with something. That is what Nehemiah's life was flowing with, good fruit. What is your life flowing with? It takes faith. It'll take faith. I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have the letters addressed to the governor of the province of west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through the territories on my way to Judah. And please give me the letter to address to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest. But look at verse 10. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. We'll continue with that next week. But the point I'm trying to say is that even though God is showing you favor, you're going to have challenges. So here's what I want to say. Just because you're humbling yourself and doing the right things, it doesn't mean you will not have challenges. And that's where we go wrong. So, but I've done everything. Why am I having another challenge? Because God is at work. Just because you said, I heard the message today, I'll be humble, and somehow I must succeed. Yes, you will. But challenges are coming. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, one thing I wanted to, thought we might have a slide, but remind all of the leaders, we have our leaders' workshop next Saturday. Yeah. Next Saturday. So plan on that. You can see the time. You can see the place. So we want all our leaders, family group leaders, deacons, staff, elders, our wives, all the leadership of the church to come, and we will have a great time, some plans and some vision for the new year. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. As Quentin already mentioned, our special contribution goal for this year is $100,000. That's the church in Zambia that we support. I think Mike or Chloe might have taken that picture when they were there visiting. He's nodding yes, so I'm right. You know, that's been our goal for the past 2 years, those of you who've been here and remember. And we haven't quite made it, but we've come close both of the past 2 years. So let's pray this year that we would really hit and exceed our goal of $100,000. I believe God can do that. I also believe online giving will help. We can do it electronically this year if we want. So that'll be available to you. We will start that in February, all through April, and our International Sunday. So be planning on that. Be praying about that. We are going to allocate the money slightly differently this year than we have done in the past. We're going to allocate this year by percentage rather than dollar amount. So 50% of all the money that you give will go to overseas missions. Okay, 50%. So if you give $1, 50 cents is going overseas. You give $10, $5 is going overseas, and so on. You can do the math. So if we get to our goal of $100,000, 50% of that, or $50,000, will go overseas. Most of that is going to go to help the church in Zambia. This is they own land. This is where they meet as a church. They don't have a building. They have this pavilion, but they own this land that someone gave them, and they meet there. So we will continue to support the church. They have two staff members, and our money helps them have that second staff member, Yvonne, the woman who leads the females in the church. What am I saying? Anyway, Yvonne, the woman leader, is who we primarily support. The church supports Tromba, the guy who leads there. So that's where our money will go. Now, if we give more than they need, then we'll be able to give money to other places. Like, we would like to give to Haiti. We would like to support the church in Haiti. The leaders there came from here. We would like to support that church. So it's 50%. However much we give, we'll get beyond what Zambia needs, we'll give to Haiti. We get beyond what Haiti needs. There's other churches in Africa that could use our help. So that's what we will do. The more we give, the more money will flow to those places. Amen? We will also give another 10% to mission-related expenses, to support for mission work. So traveling, sending people there, helping train leadership in Africa. So another 10% of what we give, every dollar, 10 cents, will go to mission support. And then 40% will go to our building fund. So every dollar you give, 40 cents of that dollar will go into our building fund and continue to accumulate as we have for many years for the day when God gives us a building. Amen. Amen. So that's what we will do with our special contribution this year. If you have any questions, you can see any of the elders about that. I'm going to close with a prayer, and then I assume we'll have a closing song. We do have a prayer request that came in this morning. Carmen Mazo had to take her father to the emergency room. So please be praying for him and her whole family. Amen. So let's pray. God, we thank you that we had church today. Thank you that we could worship you, that we could hear your word taught and preached. Father, that we could take communion together. We're so grateful that we have a place to meet where we can worship you and have fellowship. Father, we pray for Carmen's father. Pray that you would be with him in the emergency room, and that they could heal whatever problem he is facing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.